Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Father, I want to come to you this morning and thank you for your presence with us, your presence in us. And Lord, I would ask this morning that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, and that my words would not be in the way, but that your word would ring out and ring forth, and that it would pierce us and it would do its work in us. And so for each person, I pray, Lord, that you would speak and you would communicate to their heart, to their mind, the things that you know they need to hear. I pray for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Well, this is the last sermon in the Jonah series, and this has been a really fun series to preach. I have thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm really thankful that from your feedback, you have been blessed by it. And one of the things I've enjoyed hearing is folks say, you know what, it's really fun, it's encouraging, it's great to be an adult and to revisit a story that really we don't share much or tell much or study much outside of children's Bible class. And so it's good to be adults and know these stories are for us. And when we tell this Bible story to kids, what we usually focus on is the fact that Jonah was swallowed by a really big fish. But the story is not asking the question, can a man live inside of a fish? The story, he can, you're right, because Jonah did it. The story is asking, how long can a man live outside of God's will? Is Jonah ever going to be swallowed up by the mission of God? And really, the genius of the book, as we arrive at the end of it, is that it ends in such a way that the answer to that question is really a question that's posed to us. And it becomes our concern. Will we be swallowed up by the mission and by the will of God? And so just to recap and get us right here to chapter 4. A great revival broke out in Nineveh. No thanks to the preacher. Jonah didn't want the revival. He didn't pray for the revival. And in fact, Jonah became angry because of the revival. And so that leads us to chapter 4, verse 5 through the end. Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city, and he made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. So Jonah is still hoping something is going to happen. And based on what we know about Jonah, I think Jonah is hoping that something bad is going to happen. So he sits and he waits to see what would happen to the city. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there. And soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. And this eased his discomfort, and Jonah was grateful for the plant. But God also arranged for a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged. Now, I've said that three times. The Bible has said that three times. And I just want to stop here and remind us, because as we are fed by the Word of God, it creates a worldview in us. It tells us things that even go beyond just the story. And these few verses are reminding us that our God is the God of creation. Amen? He is the Lord who rules and he reigns over all. And he is at work and he arranges and he uses anything and everything in all of his creation to accomplish his will. He did it then and he still does it today. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Okay. The other thing I want us to remember and recognize is so far in the book, every part of creation has done exactly what God called it to do, except for who? Jonah. Us. God gave us free will and choice. And when God arranges for a vine to grow, a vine grows. And when God arranges for a wind to blow, a wind blows. But when God arranges for us to go, that's the question in the book. Let's keep reading. God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint. And not for the first time in this book, Jonah wishes to die. Death is certainly better than living like this. I confess, I have said that recently when it's 112 degrees. And a scorching wind has been blowing. So I have a little bit of sympathy for Jonah here. But Jonah just wishes to die. Death is certainly better than living like this, he exclaimed. Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry because a plant died?" "Yes," Jonah retorted. "Even angry enough to die." And then the Lord said, "You feel sorry about a plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly, it dried quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness. Not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry," God says, "for such a great city?" And that's the end of Jonah. The question is left. Now, Jonah still wants nothing to do with this revival. This entire city of 120,000 people has turned from its wicked ways. Their repentance was visible in a change in their deeds. And they turned toward the one and true God. And Jonah, who should have gone to work in the city, setting up Bible studies, forming D groups, making small groups, Jonah should have been going to work, and instead, what does Jonah do? Jonah hightails it out of the city as fast as he can. He goes outside and he sits and he waits, hoping that something will go wrong and God will end up destroying the city. And then as Jonah sits there and he's mad and he's pouting, something happens to Jonah that has never happened in the book so far. And what happens is Jonah, for a few moments, actually got happy. Jonah has been a very unhappy prophet. But for a few minutes, Jonah was happy. For a few minutes, Jonah was grateful. It was not the repentance of Nineveh that made Jonah happy. What made Jonah happy was a little bitty shade tree. And Jonah took his place in a long line of people who were more concerned about their comfort than they are concerned about God's mission. That's where we find Jonah. And the lure of comfort, folks, is something we really, really need to pay attention to. It's true for people all over the world. It's true for people all through the ages. It is an especially temptating lure as American Christians Because we live in the lap of comfort and we get lulled in our comfort. I was in a meeting earlier this week with Mission Resource Network. We're a partner church with MRN. I was in a meeting with other partner churches. And they were talking about work that is going on. And they begin to talk about this tension that they have become even more aware of. This tension between risk and safety when dealing with their missionaries in dangerous parts of the world. And they said that they especially deal with this tension between risk and safety with three specific disciple makers that they have. And all three disciple makers are from Iran. All three came to follow the Lord Jesus. All three became disciple makers in Iran and began Bible studies and began baptizing people. All three had to leave Iran because of their faith in Jesus Christ, because they were in danger. And all three want to go back. They want to go back into the heart of darkness because they want to be a part of what God is doing in their country to rescue and save souls. And MRN continues to find themselves counseling safety and counseling risk management. And these three don't care anything about that. They just want to go back and be a part of the mission of God. Comfort isn't just an American problem, but it is an American problem. And there's no doubt that we get really comfortable. And if we're not careful, comfort will become our primary concern. Okay, God and Jonah are both concerned. God is concerned about Nineveh. Jonah is concerned about Jonah. And as I've said before, I'm Jonah. We're Jonah. Most folks' faith never really goes much deeper than bless me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And too often, churches and preachers just baptize that theology and continue to reward that theology. But what do you get when you get churches full of people who are only concerned about their own concerns? You get churches who are not concerned about the mission. Churches who are not being swallowed up by the will and the mission of God. And I do believe that God will put us in uncomfortable situations to make us do some soul searching to see if our concerns line up with His concerns. Because, frankly, I think God is probably not as concerned as we are about a lot of our concerns. God is concerned about those who are ignorant about Jesus. God is concerned about those who are disobedient and in rebellion to Him. God is concerned about those who are sick and need a doctor. God is concerned about people who live in spiritual darkness and will spend eternity separated from Him. That is what God is concerned about. That is exactly why He sent the Lord Jesus. And God does not divide the world like we divide the world. God doesn't divide the world between His friends and His enemies. God divides the world between His children who are saved and His children who are still lost. And God is gonna love the world, whether we're comfortable with it or not. But He is inviting us as His church to be swallowed by the mission of God. And to love the world as much as He loves the world. And to partner with Him in what Paul in 2 Corinthians calls this ministry of reconciliation, of reconciling men and women with Jesus and with God. So will you be swallowed by the mission of God? Will you be swallowed by the mission of God? Will you sacrifice? Will you give up something, some things, to go on mission with God? It may be that you sacrifice your time. Time is precious to us. We feel every moment of it. It may be that you sacrifice some of your time to be swallowed by the mission of God. It may be that you sacrifice your reputation, your self-esteem, that you put yourself in situations where you're going to be ridiculed, where you're going to be mocked, where you're going to be attacked. That happened to a few of us who were studying together just a couple of weeks ago. Maybe that you sacrifice some things you want to talk about and find a way to bring up the Lord Jesus in a gospel conversation. Maybe that you pick up that acronym we talked about a year ago, and that you really intentionally make it your mission to bless people, and that you begin with prayer. And that you listen with compassion, and that you eat together, and that you serve with love, and that you share your story and his story, and you bless them. Maybe that you sacrifice financially. In the month of October, we're going to have our celebration Sunday, and we're going to pledge for our missions. Maybe that you sacrifice so more work will be done in Canada, more work will be done in the med room, more work will be done on college campuses. See, that's really the question that this little children's Bible story is causing us to wrestle with. Will you be swallowed by the mission of God? Jesus was the Son of God, living in glory, sharing in God's glory, was willing to be swallowed by the mission of his Father, and he gave it all up. He emptied himself. He pursued God's mission because he was with a fully engaged heart, because he knew the heart of his Father, and he knew the heart of his Father loved all of creation, even the animals. Some versions say even the cattle. I like cows. God apparently likes cows. God loves all of his creation. God is concerned with the redemption of all of creation. See, Jonah loved a plant, but God loves a planet. And Scripture teaches us, Peter preached it in Acts chapter 3, that when Jesus returns, God is going to restore all things. Romans 8 teaches us that right now creation is literally groaning, waiting for its redemption. It's not groaning so that something, God will put it out of its misery. It's groaning so that it will be brought back to the glory in which God first created it before sin messed it up. See, God's redemption is going to reach all of creation. And there's nothing small about the mission of God. There's nothing small about the grace of God. There's nothing small about the sacrifice that God was willing to make for the whole planet, for you, for someone who's still lost that you know. So what makes you happy? Think about that just a minute. What makes you happy? What comes to your mind? Is it being with your grandkids? Is it your team winning a really great game? Is it getting a new vehicle? Is it the person you voted for gets elected? I mean, really, what makes you happy? Scripture tells us what makes heaven happy. What makes heaven so happy that it's a party-throwing happiness. And what makes heaven happy is when one of God's lost kids comes home. Are your concerns anything like God's concerns? Because if we really aren't concerned about God's mission, then I think we really do not get God's grace. There was a church member who asked very famous preacher, Charles Spurgeon, back in the 1800s, a church member asked Charles Spurgeon, "Do you really think that people who have never been told about the gospel are really going to be lost?" And the preacher answered the question with another question, and he said, "Do you really think that people who have never told anybody about Jesus are really saved?" See, Jesus only made one prayer request that I can find in Scripture. Jesus taught us to pray. Jesus prayed. Only one time that Jesus gave us a prayer request. And it's in Matthew chapter 9. And he gave the disciples this specific prayer request. He said, "Pray for more workers." That's what we need, Jesus said. That's what we need. That's what you need to pray for. Pray for more workers. He said, when he saw the crowds, Jesus just had compassion on them. I have been trying to practice that. I've realized I do not always have compassion on people when I see them. I notice the way they look. I notice how they've pierced themselves, what they've done to themselves. I notice the way they talk. I notice the way they wear. I notice all kinds of things about them. And it doesn't always engender compassion. I'm just being honest with you. I'm praying about that. I'm working on that. Because when Jesus came into contact with his lost children, his first emotion was compassion. Why? Because they're confused. They're helpless. They've been lied to. They've been deceived. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And praise God that we were found by the shepherd. They haven't been yet. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are so few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields." That's what was on the heart of Jesus when he told his disciples to pray. And so the book ends with us wondering, what's going to happen to Jonah? Is Jonah going to be swallowed up by the mission of God? Is Jonah going to become concerned about the things and the people that God is concerned about? Did Jonah get up from sitting outside that city, and did he go in, and did he get to work? We don't know. The real question is, what about you and me? What about you and me? What are we going to do? Are we going to sit on the sidelines and pout about what's going on in the world? Are we going to sit on the sidelines and gripe because of what people are like? Are we going to sit on the side and get mad and get angry? And when God say, "Do you have a right to angry? Be angry," say, "Yeah, I do." Are we going to sit to the side, complain about the weather, get happy for a few minutes when things are going our way and we feel comfortable, and get mad when it gets taken away? What about you and me? That's why I prayed beforehand, because I don't want this to be a sermon where, as the preacher, somehow my words just get you something inside you enough that you'll say, "Okay, I want the Holy Spirit to convict you this morning of however he needs to convict you," because that's where this book is leaving us. What about you and me? God's mission has not changed. God's heart has not changed. God's desire has not changed. Will we be swallowed up by the mission of God? That's the genius of the story. You get to decide how this story ends for you. And so I'm about to ask you to come forward and join me in prayer. But I want to let you know that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to let you know there's a bait and switch. So I want you to be fully aware of what I'm going to ask you to do really means. Because I'm going to ask you, if you, in just a moment, will walk to the front and gather around this stage and join me in prayer, if you are willing to make Jesus' prayer request your own, if you are willing to ask God to send more workers in the field. Now, a lot of you would say, yeah, I'm willing to do that. I'm going to come to the front and I'm going to ask God to send workers. But here's the catch. Here's what I want you to know. Because here's the reality, I think, of Jesus' prayer request. When Jesus lets us know about the need and know about the mission and know about the harvest and know that we need workers, and Jesus says, would you pray for workers? I really do believe what that prayer means is we come to the realization that Jesus is calling us to be one of the workers. So I want you to stand. And I'm serious. If you're willing to pray with Jesus for more workers in the field, would you come to the front? Knowing what the prayer means, that it means God is calling you to be one of the workers. The opportunities are so numerous. The harvest is plentiful. There's so much work to be done. And I've been so encouraged lately, folks. I get discouraged, but I've been so encouraged lately. There's been so many times lately that I've been hearing people have conversations that are about faith. I've been hearing people have conversations that are about Jesus. I've been hearing people share the gospel. I've been hearing people talk about church. God is at work. The darker things get, the brighter God's light is. The opportunities are there. The harvest is plentiful. Jesus really meant it when he said, what we just need are more workers. We want to give you tools. We want to give you help. Today we're going to do our D group training. It really is a great way for you to be involved in the mission of God. There are other great ways too, and we're going to train and talk about those. But if you're serious about this, join us today. But let's pray together. Jesus, Lord, Father, we're taking seriously your prayer request. And so we're joining you, Jesus, in praying for more workers. And by stepping forward, we're offering ourselves as workers. Father, would you capture our hearts? And would the things that you hate be the things that we hate? Would be the things that grieve you be the things that would grieve us? Would be the things that cause you to have compassion, cause compassion to well up in us? Would the things that just bring you joy and happiness be the things that bring us joy and happiness? Would you capture our hearts? Would you so fill us with your Spirit that we are at one with you and at one with your mission? And not because the preacher riled us up, not because we've just decided we're going to buckle down and do it, but Lord, would you compel us with your incredible love? Would you fill us to overflowing with your grace so that we would understand just how much we have been saved from and just how much you want to save others around us? Father, send us as workers. Give us the tools we need, the words we need, the courage we need, the conviction we need, the love that we need, the grace that we need, the compassion that we need. Father, give us everything that we need for godliness so that we can be a worker, so that we will be swallowed up by the mission of God and not sitting on the sidelines. Father, I pray this prayer, and I pray that each person is praying this prayer, and that you this week, God, will bless us with an opportunity to be a worker. That this week, Lord, you will put us in a situation with someone that the door is opened for us to bring up the name of Jesus. That someone this week will get the opportunity to pray for them. There'll be someone we'll get the opportunity to listen to. That there'll be someone we'll have the opportunity to eat with. Someone that we'll have the opportunity to serve. Someone that we'll have the opportunity to share. Lord, would you use us to be a blessing this week. And I pray for you to do it, God. In Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, who will be most at work within us when we are on mission with you. Amen. Would you please be seated? Thank you so much.